Welcome to episode 20 of Autograph Weekly.
Hello, this is Tracy Hackler with Panini America, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
Oh, what's going on, autograph collectors? I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And I'm Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, where we will feed your autograph addiction every week until I actually correctly pick a 16 seed over a 1 in the first round of March Madness. Guys, there's a keyword hidden in today's show. Keep those ears open. When you hear the keyword, run your little feed over to our Facebook wall and post it on our wall to be automatically entered into this week's giveaway. What's up for the prize? Well, you have to listen to the podcast to figure that out later in the show. Let's move on to the Mojo Mailbox. Stacey, what was in your mailbox this, wait for it, week?
All right. First, the quick update for Countdown to 1,000. It's at 636. And as far as the mail week, it was actually really slow. Not much on any front.
I disagree.
Well, for you. Probably under 10 total TTMs in the last week. Just had one purchase as well, which I'll get to in a second. But some of the TTM highlights. Got Cyndi Lauper in. She signed all three photos I sent, so that was pretty cool. A lot of people got her back in last week. Got Sonya Thompson, who plays a zombie in The Walking Dead. She signed two photos for me, so always happy to get new Walking Dead success in. Got Daichin Latchman in. She is an actress that was in the TV show Dollhouse. Was a big fan of that show when it was on, so I was very happy to get that in.
What's her name again?
Deshaun or Deechin.
Say it one more time, her entire name.
Deshaun Latchman or Deechin Latchman.
What's that name again?
I'm moving on. All right, the next one I got in. I got book plates from the Iron Sheik, which is going to be going in my WWE Encyclopedia, which is another new project that I'm starting. Not going to go full bore into that yet. That's kind of something I'm going to work on more this summer, but just started to get a few things out and got that in. Also got from the Savage List, got a success from George Stephanopoulos, signed two photos for me, got those in actually today. And also got this in, which will be going on the Savage List as well. This is a new address on the Savage List, got in none other than Vince McMahon, signed two book plates for me for the WWE Encyclopedia, so was very happy to get that in. That was kind of an address that I took a chance on, and it worked, so it will be going on the Savage List. That's it for the TTMs. The one purchase I got this week, got a very cool 27x40 poster in. It's from William Shatner. It's the documentary he worked on that's called The Captains, about all the different Star Trek captains, and he signed this one, and it's actually numbered to 200, so I think I got this for like $35 shipped, so I was very happy with that. And that is pretty much all for me this past week. What about you, Zane?
Wow. So all I have to say is wow. My mailbox was full, especially Monday. Monday, I got a lot of these in. Let's start off with the TTMs, of course. Got in Greg Grunberg, Dan Quayle, legendary women's basketball coach Pat Summitt, Jerry Sloan, Ivana Trump, Rob Reiner, Mike Rowe, and I actually had Mike Rowe sign a swatch of jeans. And he put a quote on it, says, like, it's all in the jeans or something like that. It was pretty cool. Alan Trammell via spring training, Walter Isaacson, the creator of the Steve Jobs book. He also wrote biographies on Henry Kissinger and Einstein. Can't believe I used Kissinger and Einstein in the same sentence. That's a thunderstorm, by the way, around me. So if you hear a large clash, that's thunder. Al Unser, legendary race car driver. And my favorite, Grace Lee Whitney. I just started watching the original series of Star Trek, and she's in the like first 10 episodes. She's extremely hot. She's got like a beehive hairdo. Man, back in the 60s, they knew how to like wear little short dresses, especially on Star Trek. So I was really happy to get that one in. She signed two photos for me. Now on the auction front, it was insane. Got in Jim Lovell, the guy that Apollo 13, the movie, was based off of. He was the one that went up in Apollo 13. Got in a triple signed photo of Napoleon Dynamite, signed by Efren Ramirez, John Grease, and Diedrich Bader. Also got in John Hawks, a signed 8x10 by John Hawks. He was in Deadwood. Shane Battier, Ira Glass, Betsy Brand, she's in Breaking Bad, Jorma Taccone, you may know him from the Lonely Island group, then I, in my pants, now I gotta keep it PG for the show, got in Brett Cullen, signed 8x10, my good buddy Sid sent me an awesome Bill Mazeroski signed card, it's a certified card, serial numbered, I think, out of 199 or 200. So that's an awesome addition to my PCs, because he was a big hole that I needed to fill. Also got in Hideki Arabu, signed 8x10, a Curt Schilling signed Leaf signature card. Now it starts getting really crazy and awesome. A Boston Common, if you've ever seen the show Boston Common back in the 90s, and The Single Guy, another show back in the 90s, I got two signed scripts from both of those shows signed by the main cast. Including Ernest Borgnine, the chick that started out on Monk, helping Monk out. I forget what her name is, but she was the first chick that helped Monk out. Also got the sister on there from The Wonder Years. Just a lot of people. Chun-Li from Street Fighter, the first one. So some great signatures on those, and got them for a ridiculous price. Oh, also Ernest Borgnine. I don't think I mentioned him. moving on. Got another script, which is just an amazing piece that blew my mind when I saw it and the person accepted my offer. Signed by Walter Koenig, Judson Scott, Leonard Nimoy, Nichelle Nichols, James Doohan, George Takei, and William Shatner. This is a Wrath of Khan script. It's very thick, signed by all these people. Really, the only people that's missing is Ricardo Montalban, who played Khan, and DeForest Kelley, who played Bones. So, I went out and bought a Ricardo Montalban book plate, and I'm going to work on a matte piece, putting this in a shadow box with the cut autos under it. So, I already got the Montalban, and I'm about to talk about a DeForest Kelley that I bought, but it's not going to work out the way I wanted it to. On the signed book front, I got Mike Schmidt, Carl Yastrzemski, Richard A. Clark, John freaking Madden, and here's the DeForest Kelley. It's a DeForest Kelley and Nichelle Nichols dual signed book, but it's such a cool book. It's basically a manual that shows how the Starship Enterprise works, and it has all these different, like, how the actual electronics work in the Enterprise. It's an amazing, awesome book. It's like an owner's manual thing, signed by both of them. I just can't cut out the signature from DeForest Kelley. I have to leave it in there. So I'm going to have to find another DeForest Kelley cut auto to stick in my matte piece. Also got in another John Stewart multi-sign book signed by him and his entire staff. Those things go for around $500. I got mine for, I think, $40. So it was a hell of a deal. Also got in a first... Okay, stay with me here, guys. A first edition Easton Press. Easton Press makes these amazing leather-bound books. And this is leather-bound. Okay, first edition, Easton Press, leather-bound book, signed, and limited out of 1,450. And this is William Shatner's Get a Life, in which he talks about Star Trek and some behind-the-scenes stuff. So an epic Star Trek book, limited edition, and it's unopened. So it's basically the best William Shatner book you could ever have signed. And I got it for $30 shipped. So that was a hell of a steal. Very happy with that. That is like the holy grail for Trekkies. Other than, I guess, a signed uniform that was actually on the show. Also got in, and this is the last one, Bill Russell signed book. When people talk about the greatest basketball players of all time, usually it's Russell, Chamberlain, and Jordan that they discuss. So got in Russell, and I got another one in that's going to be my badass book buy. And what's yours first? I'm going to go ahead and put yours to shame. What was your badass book by this week.
All right, I only got one book this week, so this is going to be my badass book by default, but it's a pretty decent book, and I got it for a decent price. Got it for $7. Picked this up today at Half Price Books, and it's George Takei's autobiography, and Star Trek's Mr. Sulu, I guess is what the book is called. But, guy, like I said, I got this for $7. It came with had an inscription inside to Tony, my very best, George Takei, and dated 11/17/94. So I was very happy to pick that up. Like I said, got that for $7. So it was a decent pickup for me, but I'm sure it's not going to compare to what you're going to talk about. So
yeah, I'm going to talk about a little guy named Wilt Frickin' Chamberlain. You may know him from scoring 100 points in one basketball game.
You know what I know him for?
What?
Oh, scoring with 20,000 chicks.
20,000 chicks, yeah. Apparently, he said in a book, I'm not sure if it's this book or not, but he said he slept with over 20,000 chicks. Like, 2,000 would be like, oh, okay, yeah, buddy. But 20,000, it's like, yeah, okay, buddy. But I guess a lot of people vouch for him, so I don't know. Anyways, I got a signed book by him. And it's just an amazing piece. So I got Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain actually on the exact same day in the mail. It was one heck of a mail day, and I'm very happy with that piece. I paid $30 for the Wilt Chamberlain signed book, and that's a steal. Definitely a steal. It's also inscribed Peace and Love, which is pretty cool. especially since it's Wilt. Move on to our project stuff, and we actually have no news on the project front. We didn't get any Geek Week stuff and no Project.com stuff. So let's move on to the web deal of the week. This is where we tell you the great deals on the internet straight from the celebrities. If they have a website, usually celebrities sell their autographs, sell autograph photos here and there. What is your pick for the web deal of the week, Stacey?
Mine is going to be Richard Kiel, and you can get to him by going to www.richardkiel.com, and he actually has photos on there that he signs and sells for anywhere from $10 to $15. Also, he's doing a special right now where you buy one signed item, get another signed item for free. So that's a pretty decent deal for Richard Kiel. Like I said, the website is richardkiel.com.
And he's been in some great stuff. Obviously, Happy Gilmore, he's the guy that gets hit in the head. And he's also in Twilight Zone and just a bunch of epic roles. He's got that monster face, if you will. So that's a really good deal for him. My pick's going to have to be Tom Wilson. You may know him as Biff from Back to the Future. He has a website called BigPopFun.com. And if you go there on the right, there's a little tab. It's his store. It's like Buy Tom Stuff or something like that. Click that, and you can actually buy a signed poster for $10 plus $5 shipping. So $15 altogether for the signed poster. And I think he has a signed CD on there for $20. He doesn't sign anything like Back to the Future related anymore, I don't think. Or if he does, he charges extra for it. So this is your cheapest way to get a Tom Wilson autograph now. And the poster is a pretty good, freaking good deal. So again, that's Big Pop Fun. .com. That's his website. Go check it out. One heck of a deal. All right, let's move on to the news. And Stacey, what you got that's autograph newsworthy this week?
All right, you got a couple of quick things here. The first one I just thought was kind of funny. It's the news article is actually entitled "David Hasselhoff Signed Royal Autographs." And basically, what this is, at one time, David Hasselhoff had signed autographs for Britain's Princes William and Harry. And basically, it goes into him meeting with Princess Diana. It doesn't give an exact date, but it just goes on to him talking about the encounter. And he goes on to say, "Diana was introduced to me, and she said, 'You look good with your clothes on.' And he replies, and I told her, 'Thanks, so do you.' Then he goes on to ask her if her kids would like to have some autographs, and she said, 'Absolutely.' So I just thought that was pretty interesting. He goes on to, he talks about another person that was really in awe of him, which is Russell Crowe, which is kind of funny. It goes on to saying how Russell Crowe was just a huge mega fan of Knight Rider when it was on when Russell was a kid. And basically that Hasselhoff goes on to say that after the first time Russell Crowe met him, Russell Crowe pretty much followed him around for an entire day and wouldn't leave him alone. But that was my first story. And then the second story is about some new trading card product that came out. It's the 2012 Topps Tribute Baseball Cards. And a couple of the very high-end stuff that has been recently sold on eBay. And actually, this product hasn't been out for... I don't think this product's only been out for a few days. But it's actually got, I think, the first Yu Devarish, or however you say that guy's last name, that huge guy with all the hype around for the Rangers, the pitcher. But basically, they have some redemptions in there. And there's been two redemptions that have sold so far. The first one went for $1,999, and the second redemption sold for $1,200, which is pretty crazy for redemption cards. Then there was also a one-of-one from Matt Moore. I'm not sure who this is. Must be an up-and-coming prospect or something. I don't really know, but it actually sold for $1,500. And then the other... What's that?
I was going to say, it's like the baseball card industry nowadays is almost like the stock market where people are betting this money. That, okay, it's going to be a grand to get this card, but, you know, if this guy turns out to be something, if he turns out to be the next A-Rod or the, you know, next Griffey before he got hurt, I could make triple my profit. Like, I don't know, it just seems to me sometimes that, especially with these rookies, people are just betting on whether the guy's going to be good instead of actually winning the card.
That Devarish hype reminds me a lot of when Strasburg first came up and how crazy that was.
Right, and you can't really, I mean, I guess if the guy went to school at a college that you liked, you could be a fan of him, but if he hasn't really played in any games, you really can't be a fan of him yet, so you have to be buying that for the monetary reason. I mean, I don't know, it's kind of messed up the way the card world works, especially with rookies nowadays, but...
But there was actually another card that actually sold for $1,200, and this one is not a rookie, so this is pretty cool. This is actually a redemption for an autographed Ken Griffey Jr. printing plate that was sold for $1,200. So
nice.
It's nice to see Griffey getting some love still.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, Griffey's auto has always been up there. It's never really decreased in value just because he's such a nostalgic figure. If you grew up in the mid to early 90s, you knew how awesome Griffey was. I mean, he was the best player in the game. So a lot of these people just remember that, and a lot of people still want Griffey autos because of that. That's part of their childhood. So I don't think his autograph's ever going to go down, sadly. I wish I could just buy a million of them, but they're still pretty expensive. You done with your story?
Yes, I am.
Well, I got a story that involves Kevin Nash, and it actually involves you, the listener. If you want Kevin Nash to record a video for you, pretty much saying whatever you want him to say, you can ask him any questions you want. There's two slots, so you can ask him two questions or have him say two things. You can do that. Go to NashFriends.com. Kevin Nash is holding a little special where for $55, or I think it's $54, you can have him do this little special message and send the video to you. So you actually have Kevin Nash talking to you personally. Also, with this deal, you also get a signed 8x10. So if you're a huge wrestling fan, this is a no-brainer. But the problem is there's only 50, guys. Only 50 available, so get it while it's hot. This came out a couple days ago, so I'd say this is going to dry up pretty fast. So if you're a big wrestling fan and you loved Nash and the NWO and all that stuff, I recommend to go check it out. Again, that's NashFriends.com. We'll put a link on the site so it'll make it easier for you guys to access that site. There's also word of Billy Gunn, Badass Billy Gunn, also doing the same thing, but he doesn't have a site up. He only has an email. I'm going to say his is probably going to be cheaper a little bit, but I'm not positive on that. So I'll again put that in the article that we'll post on autographweekly.com. And the keyword is sweet. And the keyword is sweet. All right, we have a treat for you guys today. We have Bob Jones, the man behind AutographWorld.com, the most trusted dealer on the net, at least I know between me and my buddies. Everything checks out with you guys, and you're awesome. Say hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. We appreciate you being on. We hope you can answer some awesome questions for us and really get into the autograph world, if you will. First question, these are just kind of generic questions about you. Was there like one action or were there multiple things that really brought Autograph World to where it is today?
Well, Autograph World is really kind of a manifestation of a business that my partner J.D. Bardlow and I had started years ago. And Autograph World is kind of the internet arm of that. So when the internet came around, we essentially, moved our business onto the internet and we called it Autograph World. So that's kind of, I would say the internet is kind of responsible for bringing us to be what we are today.
Cool. Is there any like action that you guys took in between that time that really boosted you to the top? Like where you're like, when somebody wants to buy an autograph online, they know to go into Autograph World. I know that's how a lot of collectors feel. Do you think there's like one thing, like advertising or something that you guys did, or were you just kind of lucky, kind of fall into?
We never really have done a lot of advertising. We really just have always believed that if you sell authentic autographs, eventually people will take notice, and that's really just kind of what we've done. And over time, our reputation has grown. JD was heavily involved with UACC for many years. That helped with our reputation. He was very well known by many, many people in the industry. So, over time, it kind of a reputation builds, I think. And,
so it's actually, you're saying it's kind of in part to so many bad dealers being out there that since you guys do sell authentic autographs all the way around, that, that kind of drives people toward you. And it's mostly word of mouth, because that's how I originally heard of you guys. So many people talk about you in forums and all these autograph communities about how you're the best. And that's really how I found out about you. Are you saying that's like there's so many, these horrible companies out there that just do horrible jobs at selling fake autographs that people kind of just flock to you? Is that one of the main reasons?
It's part of it. But, you have to also know that, our names have been in the industry for, I think it's like 25 years now. So, right. As time goes on, you just build up a reputation, and what has happened with a lot of companies is they eventually go out of business. But, as time goes on, Autograph World is still there, I guess that has a lot to do with it. We're still around, so.
Right. Well, what exactly is the process that you used in obtaining these autographs that you sell?
There's a number of different ways. The most obvious is in person, not necessarily me, but we have a number of employees that work for us in major cities that they're basically like paparazzi with photos.
Right.
And when I say employees, I mean that in a way that it's not like they're just these runner guys that, I want to sell my stuff to you, your Autograph World.
Right.
It's not like that. It's
right.
People that we've known for. One of our guys has been working for us for probably close to 2 decades.
Wow.
Most of our guys, I think the newest guy is probably 5 years. 10, 12 years is not uncommon. So these are people that, you've just formed great relationships with. And, if you know anything about the in-person community, and I could tell you who they were, you know exactly who these people are. And anyone that is involved in it, they know who works for us and they know who they are. So that's a major way. So, you see autographs of current, movies and TV stuff. That's where that stuff comes from.
Right. I noticed you get a lot of, like groups of people from different premieres. So if like the Napoleon Dynamite premiere, so I'm guessing
right.
Somebody went to the Napoleon Dynamite premiere and got John Grease and all these other guys from that premiere. So it's very cool to find out where those autographs come from. So I definitely wanted to ask that question. Next, I noticed you guys don't have any COAs, and I freaking love this because I hate COAs. They're basically a source of false confidence for collectors, especially on eBay. What made you come to that real decision? I know you guys send out the piece of paper, basically a receipt for the autograph. And in my opinion, your name alone, Autograph World, holds up the authenticity very well. So you don't really need that piece of paper that goes along with every single autograph to say, hey, this is authentic, here's our guarantee, blah, 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 blah. So what made you come to the decision, really, to not put that COA with every single autograph?
Well, I mean, it wasn't really, it was more, we didn't really decide to not do it. What, you know, like, we, when we started selling autographs many years ago, they, there was no such thing as a COA. The COA is an invention from essentially eBay. I mean, so before that time, it wasn't even an issue. We didn't issue COAs, and virtually nobody did. You didn't need to. And then sports guys started doing it, and then that, you know, that kind of crept into the mentality of what people were doing with eBay, and then all of a sudden, you know, well, geez, I need to have the COA because this certificate, this wonderful piece of paper, says that this autograph is real. It must be real.
Exactly.
You know, and it infuriates me because no matter how many time ways or how many times I say, you know, anyone can make a fancy piece of paper and it says that the autograph is real, but that doesn't make it real.
Exactly.
You know, I can tell by what you're saying that you understand this completely.
Absolutely.
And so basically I think, you know, we weren't issuing COAs. The UACC doesn't, you know, encourage that, you know, because like what you said, you know, obviously, if you're an autograph dealer, you know, and you're a professional autograph dealer and you have some kind of reputation, I mean, that's what, you know, that's what it should be about.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, we just, you know, have kind of held our ground on it. And I'll tell you another thing. Honestly, if we spent as much time as some companies do producing fancy COAs,
and holograms.
Not even holograms. Just, you know, just because based on the thousands of autographs we sell, the amount of time it would take to actually manage, you know, printing all the COAs out and collating them with the orders and packaging and all that stuff, I mean, we'd have to, you know, make higher prices or something to account for that, because it would just cut into what we do. I mean, we're a very high volume dealer, and I think most people would rather get a better deal on their autographs than, you know, having to pay the overhead of us having to produce fancy COAs that are meaningless. You know, I mean, essentially, that's what it is.
Well, I really applaud you on that decision. I think it's the right way to go. Next question: how many autographs do you obtain each month for the company, and do you keep any for yourself?
Well, you know,
you can guesstimate if you want.
Yeah, I mean, it varies. I will tell you this. It's thousands.
Yeah.
Because we do lots of, you know, back to one of your prior questions, you know, I was telling you that a main way we get autographs is from in-person stuff, but we do a lot of in-person stuff ourselves. But that's more through JD and I traveling or and stuff like that. And a lot of times when we do that and we go to shows, we're getting, you know, massive quantities of autographs. And anytime that, you know, I'm sure that you'll have listeners that have actually seen us at shows, and they could attest to the fact that, you know, we'll stand there in line with massive stacks of photos. And, you know, so you can't really, you know, so 1 month it could be, you know, 1,000. 1 month it could be 8,000. You know, I mean, it's all over the place, but
right,
it's thousands. Let's just say that.
Do you ever, like, get an auto in and it's like, I got to have that? So you buy it.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's like, I, you know, both JD and I aren't huge collectors. I mean, I think we appreciate entertainment, and we appreciate movies and television, and we like that. And, you know, but as far as actually collecting autographs, we don't really do a lot of that. I mean,
well, that's actually probably a good thing, because I know for me, I'm this huge collector. I'm an addict, if you will. And if I tried to sell a lot of stuff, I couldn't do it because I'm just too attached to this stuff. And if I were you and I was getting all these huge names in, I'd be like, I can't sell that. That's going to my collection. I can't sell that. That's going to my collection. So, like, I think kind of separating yourself from that a little bit is actually a really good thing.
Well, you know, that has been the downfall of many an autograph dealer, because they want to keep, you know, we always say you can't eat autographs. And you know, and obviously the implication there is that, you know, we'd rather sell it than keep it. And
right.
And that's just the truth. I mean, you know, I have collected things in my life at times. It's just that at this point I don't. And I see some autographs that are really cool. But, you know, I mean, I guess it's also because we handle so many autographs, you get a little desensitized to it over time, you know, because it's I think as a collector, you know, you see things infrequently. It makes it more special, you know. Probably that's why.
Right. That makes sense. And the last question, it's kind of personal. What are some of the weirder emails that you get? Because your email is out there. If anybody buys from Autograph World, you always get emails from Bob. And it comes from his email. Do you get any like weird responses back? Or what's the weirdest thing you found in your email?
The weirdest emails anybody would receive, and you know, is one that's been translated from another language. And I get a fair amount of those, and they're very interesting because it's really hard to even tell sometimes what the content of what they're trying to get at. But I'd say the biggest thing that we get is people asking for free autographs. You know, or people ask for free autographs all the time. People ask me to tell them if their autographs are real for free all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, you know, if you're my friend and you want to know what I think on something, you know, I'll tell you. But I mean, you know, how scalable of a solution would it be for me to authenticate everybody's autographs that I know? You know, I mean, just I can't do that. So, you know, at some point you have to draw the line and say, no, I don't do that. You know,
I mean, plus people at PSA DNA get it wrong every once in a while too, and they like authenticate for a living. So I mean, you can't just go around asking anybody to authenticate autographs. You can get opinions, which I agree on. Opinions are fine.
Yes,
I'm sure with the massive amount of email you guys get, that's just unreasonable.
We get a lot.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to the autograph centric questions. Stacey's got the first one.
All right, Bob, with the increase of online selling and trading, do you feel it's helping or hurting the hobby?
I'd say it almost has really destroyed it, honestly. But, you know, the reason for that is because when eBay came along, anybody with a pen and a photo could sell an autograph. And that's what happened and what continues to happen. So, because back before the internet existed, there weren't that many forgers. There were some, but it was much, much less prevalent. And many of the autograph dealers that were out there were legitimate. Nothing like the ratio of it is today, which is, you know, I mean, I couldn't even estimate, but I mean, there are very, very few legitimate autograph dealers these days. So, I mean, I think you can do the math and see what the answer to your question is there, you know?
And we actually say on the show a lot, the only 100% sure, like for sure way to know you have an authentic autograph is to see it signed in front of yourself. Like 100% sure, that's the only way. I mean, there's a lot of routes you can go where it's probably authentic and you're probably good, but you can't be 100% sure no matter what unless you actually see it signed in front of you. So
that's true. And, you know, I mean, you know, like authentication stuff is really, you know, it's difficult for, if you don't see it signed in front of you, it becomes, a very difficult task. Like, for example, I mean, I'll remember this very vividly. JD and I were talking about it one time. We did a signing with Tanya Roberts about 8 years ago, and she was doing 800 pieces for us, and she was just sitting signing away, and I took a stack of them and I fanned them out in front of JD and I said, "Tell me which one's the authentic one." There was like 10 of them in a row. Not one looked the same as the next.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting here watching her do this. I mean, a lot of people try to, you know, what do authenticators do? You know, if you don't see a sign, you know, you sit there and you look at it and you try to say, well, it was a match.
Well, the T bar is higher than the R and
you know, all that stuff. And, you know, the reality of it is, in many cases, it's really impossible to do that with any kind of accuracy, you know.
Right, and just different situations. If somebody's holding a photo up and somebody's signing it on the go where they don't have a table to sit down and actually, you know, concentrate on the signature, it's going to be totally different than somebody that's sitting here just signing one autograph on a desk. So there's different situations.
Absolutely.
That create two different autographs or many different autographs. So I definitely think that's a very confusing part of the hobby for a lot of people. They can't understand that. But then again, a lot of people use that excuse to create fakes. And they're like, oh, well, or a secretarial. If they get a secretarial through the mail signature, they'd be like, oh, well, this person was probably standing up while they signed this. And I'm guilty of it myself. If I get something in that just looks a little bit off through the mail, and I'm trying to figure out if it's real, I rationalize in my head. I'm like, well, they could have been in a real hurry, and they might have missed a letter here or something like that. You just kind of rationalize.
No, I know. I mean, I know what you mean. I think that that's, you know, I think a lot of through-the-mail collectors, that's what they do, is they, you know, they'll sometimes be like, well, you know, he's probably sitting down when he signed this, which he probably was if they right. did sign it, you know, or she. And, you know, so it can lead to variances, no doubt. But, you know, you just got to be careful with that because, you know, if the secretary signed it, she still signed it. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. How many autographs do you yourself own? And we kind of touched on this earlier, but do you have a lot?
Less than 10.
Less than 10? Wow.
I'll tell you what, we're in our office, what we have right here, it's 2,400 square feet. And there are, I'm looking right now how there's a Jimmy Stewart on the wall. There is a framed Pulp Fiction poster that is signed by most of the cast.
Oh, I hate you.
There's a Kristen Bauer. We know Kristen Bauer from True Blood.
Right.
You know, she's our buddy, so she signed an autograph. You can't really sell these things because she wrote some profanity on it, but, you know, so, and it's made out of autograph oil, so we'll keep stuff like that. But
right.
if it's not, it's less than 10, surely here. I mean, I don't have any in my house. Any autograph that we have is here.
Right.
I take that back. We do have autographs in my house. It's like my daughter, you know, I've gotten her Selena Gomez, Miley Cyrus, you know, those types of teenage
idols.
Girl things that, yeah. you know, so they'll ask for stuff like that, but, you know, that's for them. My boys don't care.
Right. Well, these boys
they want
do
sports
care.
Autographs, so we don't do sports autographs, so.
Yeah. Stacy, hit him with the next question.
All right, this is kind of a two-part question. It is, what is the most expensive signed item that you have ever laid your hands on, and what is the most expensive item that is sold in Autograph World?
Could be the same, I guess.
It could be the same. I mean, jeez. You know, most of the autographs that we sell are certainly under $1,000, but... when Michael Jackson died, you know, it turns out that at that time we had like maybe 15, and he was selling routinely over $1,000, $1,500. You know, we've had, you know, in the past we've had some Grace Kellys that have gone $1,500, stuff like that. You know, so entertainment-wise, you know, it's hard to get much. You know, we haven't had like, you know, Marilyn Monroe and stuff like that, because we don't do a lot of really high-end stuff like that.
Right.
So you got to figure that the most expensive stuff we're going to sell is going to be, you know, a little over $1,000. You know, I would say, and I, you know, obviously over the, you know, doing this for 25 years, I've had so many of those things in my hand. I mean, it's hard to even really remember.
Right. All right, Stacey, come with the next one.
All right, here is the controversial question. You can answer however you want to. What's your opinion on PSA, DNA, and JSA?
I think that, you know, I think they serve a purpose. I mean, I think, you know, I know guys that work both places. So, and I know they're good guys. So, you know, I think that if you have an autograph and you want to get an idea whether it's real or not, you know, they can tell you that with some amount of accuracy, you know. Whether or not, you know, do they make mistakes? Yes. You know, everybody does, you know. And that's that. And they're in the unenviable situation of not having obtained any of the autographs that they have to authenticate.
Right.
So it's not like... you know, they have to deal with all these variances. They have to, you know, they have to say yes or no. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, I mean, I guess, and I don't, they, you know, they're doing it for a profit, you know, so they have, you know, different motivations,
right.
But they don't sell autographs, so they're not motivated by, you know, saying that this autograph is real to sell it, you know. So, I mean, like I said, I think they serve a purpose. I mean, I think if you're, you know, if you're, I don't know, like if you're on eBay and you see something really expensive that you want to get and they can offer you a quick opinion and they say, that's definitely not real, then maybe you want to stay away from it. It doesn't mean it's not real.
Right.
But, you know, you know, even if they tell you it is real, you know, it's still, but it could give you, I guess it can make you feel better about it, you know.
Well, we're actually doing a project right now called, on the show, called Investigation Sex, but it's not the sex you're thinking of. It's S-E-C-S, stands for Secretarial, where we're getting these TTM autographs in that are rumored to be secretarial and sending them off to PSA DNA. And the reason we're doing this is not to finally put it into the debate. It's basically to add evidence to the pile. Because, like, me and Stacey believe that it's not a final thing. Like, I you believe, too. It's not a final decision, if you will. If you get it back from PSA DNA, it's definitely authentic, no matter what, 100%. But it is a pretty good piece of evidence you can use.
Yeah, exactly.
Next question. Do you have any tips on approaching a celebrity for an autograph, since I know a lot of people that work for you do a lot of IPs?
Yeah, you know, I've been out with them many times in LA or New York City and seen it go down. I mean, it's, unless you've done it, it's kind of hard to imagine what it's like, but, you know, I guess now with like TMZ and whatnot, you can kind of see little glimpses of what it's like, but, it's kind of a mob scene. It's tough. I mean, it's, you know, you don't really, you know, if you're on the street, you know, and you see a celebrity, you know, first of all, you won't, because it wouldn't just be you. Those situations no longer exist. You know, like back in the old days of Hollywood, you know, you might, you know, be walking down the street and, you know, some celebrity would just walk by and, you know, you might have an opportunity to ask him for an autograph. You know, those kind of situations just don't exist because of, you know, all the security and, you know, all that goes on. So now it's like, it's... How do I not get crushed behind the barricade? That's
right.
Really what it. That's what it kind of is about. And the guys that work for us and the guys that are out there doing it, they're very aggressive. I mean, they're jamming photos in front of them and they're trying to, you know, get their stuff signed. And it's not for the faint of heart.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think if you said to yourself, hey, I'm going to go on a trip to Hollywood and I'm going to try to get some graphs and I'm going to go to a premiere. You know, man. Know what you're getting into.
Exactly.
It's not easy. And you know, a lot of the guys, you know, the celebrities these days, they're so used to being yelled at from across the street that there's not really a politeness protocol, I guess. You know, it's just someone yelling at the top of their lungs, you know, Celebrity X, come over here, please sign, you know,
right.
That kind of thing. And it's hard. And it's really hard to do. It's not, like I said, it's really, as sad as it is to say, it's really for the professionals.
Yeah.
You know, then there's a complete other experience, which is going to shows, which is an in-person experience, but that's for the fan. I mean, that's for you. You know, you go up and you ask for an autograph and, you know, you do your thing and you can
right.
meet the person. And that's the different situation that you can enjoy if you're a fan.
Stacey, hit him with the next question.
All righty. Who has the nicest looking signature in your opinion, or that you have seen?
Jeez.
Think of maybe actresses that look like calligraphy. I know some of the actresses do.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, from back in the day, you know, like I said, we started doing autographs many years ago. You know, back in the heyday when, you know, Jimmy Stewart was signing all the time. I always loved Jimmy Stewart's autograph. I just always did. You know, so it's some of the older time autographs, especially because they were much less of a scribble than there is now. I mean, you know,
they had character.
You got more letters. There's not a lot of modern autographs that, you know, people take the time to write it all out. But It's really hard to say.
In general, some of the older, and I agree with you, even now, even as they're older in their 90s and 80s, it tends to be the older people that sign, take their time with the autograph and actually, you know, make it legible, if you will. So I definitely agree.
Well, you know, the Charlton Heston controversy aside, you know, I always thought his autograph was pretty cool.
Yeah. Actually, there is a pretty good tell on those. Do you know about that one?
I know all about
the LR.
It. Yeah, except for the in person. I'll send you an email of it.
I'd be interested. Anytime anybody can add to evidence piles, I love it. So
I have a JPEG of a CHALLTON that is absolutely 100% authentic and in person, signed sitting down in a limo.
Really?
In the 80s, I believe, 1984. But you know, I sent it off to Steve Zarelli, who was the guy, as you may know, that kind of started the whole Charlton Heston thing, and
right.
So he got to see that, and he has his opinion on it as well. So,
in what direction do you feel the hobby is moving? Do you think the autograph hobby is growing, or do you feel like it's kind of in a decline?
I think that, well, it's, you know, first of all, it's kind of hard to say because the economy really took a chunk out of a lot of people's businesses because, you know, autographs are a luxury.
Right.
So, you know, if you're struggling with a job or, you know, that kind of thing, you know, it's going to be the first thing you're probably going to give up. So,
right.
You know, I would say I felt like before the economy took a downturn, I felt like it was as strong as it ever was. I mean, you know, there seems to be an incredible amount of interest in Hollywood and movies and that kind of thing. And I don't see that really going away. So I think it's great.
Yeah,
you know, there's more
steady
of it now, too. I mean, there's so many networks. I mean,
right.
Geez, even Netflix is making stuff. You know, you got TV Land making new content and
right.
All this stuff. So it's just, you know, there's just so much entertainment out there now. I mean, it's a great thing.
Right.
You know, and as more time goes on, more of it's made, and more that means there's more people to be at shows that I go to sign because more content that's produced, the more there are.
And I've noticed there's actually bigger names going to shows now too that are signing.
Absolutely.
It seems like so more and more people
Kevin
are getting
Spacey's
into shows.
Doing something for one of those, like Netflix or something like that. I thought it was a huge name to be doing something like that. But
yeah,
that's exactly.
All right, Stacey, wrap this up.
All righty. The last question, more of kind of a plug, is where can people find you online?
Well, at autographworld.com. That's where to find us.
Give your notorious email out if you want.
Well, if you want to get a hold of me, it's jones@autographworld.com, and my partner is bardwell@autographworld.com.
All right, Bob, we appreciate you being on and answering all of our questions. It was a really awesome conversation. And
anytime.
Thanks for talking to us, man.
Hey, no problem.
This episode of Autograph Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. Guys, if you go to autographweekly.com, our website is entirely built from Squarespace. It's an amazing site. It makes it easy to create a very complicated website. They actually have a thing called a WYSIWYG layout. What you see is what you get. You actually move the different parts around. Not hardly any coding whatsoever, and if there is any coding, it's HTML, and if you are ever on MySpace and can manage MySpace, you'll be able to manage Squarespace. And I'm not comparing MySpace to Squarespace, good lord, no, not doing that. Squarespace is simply the easiest way to create a website if you're looking to get into it. They are offering 2 weeks for free, so you can try it out, full features. All the features you need to build an amazing website. After that, if you decide to stick with them, go ahead and use the promo code AUTOGRAPH, and you'll get 10% off your purchase, which is a heck of a deal. So again, guys, go to squarespace.com, do the two-week trial. After you're satisfied, be like, man, this website's awesome, you decide to purchase it, use the coupon code AUTOGRAPH to get 10% off. Let's move on to the Q&A. Stacy, throw me those questions.
All righty. The first one is coming from Nick Malandowski. He's asking, Who got you into the TTMing world? Was it a certain person or just a decision?
We've kind of talked about this in a couple episodes. I think we actually hit it on it last episode. But for me, it was one day when I was in junior high, I think. My dad told me, hey, I found this website where you can write off the celebrities, and it has all their addresses. And that address website was Star Archive back then, now known as Star Tiger. And that's how I got hooked. I found Star Archive, which was free at the time, and just started writing off to people. So that's really how I got into the hobby. I had a couple autographs, but I was kind of like those people who are non-collectors that have autographs. I basically had them because people gave them to me, or the situation was right just to get an autograph because the person was there. So, yeah, that's my experience. How about you?
I put full blame and responsibility on my fifth grade teacher.
Damn her.
Yep. Yeah, it was. I've talked about this several times as well. It was a school project that we did where we – that was our project or our homework or whatever it was that we had to write to an athlete, a celebrity, or a company and try to get something back. And I started writing to athletes then, and it's just kind of never has stopped. I've taken breaks and stuff, as I've discussed before, but it's been pretty – steady ever since then. So
you can call us autograph addicts. It's because that's what we are. Next question.
Alrighty, the next one is coming from Zach Webb. What is your best TTM return ever?
And surprisingly, I don't think we've had this question on the show yet. I think we've had similar questions, but not that exact question. And, you know, it's a tough one. You know, how do you want to go with it? Do you want to go with star power, or do you want to go with, like, your favorite one that means the most to you? I'm going with my favorite one that means the most to me. And that would be Gregory Walcott. And you're like, who? Who's Gregory Walcott? Well, he was in this little movie called Plan 9 from Outer Space. He was the lead character. And Plan 9 from Outer Space is known as one of, if not the worst movie of all time, directed by Ed Wood. And Gregor, like I said, was the lead character, and he was ashamed of the movie for years and wouldn't talk about it. And if you brought it up, he'd just shun you. So I wrote him a letter about a year or two ago and talked about the movie. And he actually pretty much wrote in his letter that he apologized for all the bad things he said about Ed Wood. And he's accepted that that's pretty much the peak of his career. He said he worked for Spielberg and several other directors, but working on the Ed Wood movie changed his life. Really, really awesome letter. It's front and back, handwritten letter from Gregory Walcott. He also apologizes to Ed Wood in the letter. Like I said, again, handwritten. Just amazing. Very happy with that. I was just ecstatic because I'm such a huge Plan 9 from Outer Space and especially Ed Wood fan. So what about you?
This is kind of a hard one to answer as well. Just like I said, it kind of depends where you want to take it. Mine, I'm not taking it by value-wise, just kind of the most important to me or what meant the most or the most unique kind of type thing. There's a few of them. I mean, up there on top, it really wasn't a TTM, but I got it through the mail, through talking to him, was Matt Morgan sending me the wrestling trunks that he sent me signed.
You talk about that every show.
I know. Steve Wiebe has signed a couple of Donkey Kong old school. I got like an Atari cartridge signed from him and an NES cartridge signed from him from Donkey Kong. A few baseballs. One that I'll talk about here. I don't think I've ever talked about this before, but I got from Adrian Cronauer, who was actually the, if you guys have ever seen Good Morning Vietnam, is the character that Robin Williams plays in the movie. And it's one of my favorite movies, and actually got him to sign a baseball for me. And he actually inscribed a Good Morning Vietnam, which was pretty cool. So those are a few of mine. Like I said, it's kind of hard to narrow that down to just one. I said maybe another one. Sports related is I got Strasburg to sign a ball during his hype in AA. So those would probably be my top few. So
next question.
It's coming from Grant Hacker. What return have you gotten TTM that you didn't expect to get back?
This is an easy one for me because I just did it. I was trying to get back into the hobby 2 years ago. I'd left for a while and found this guy's email, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll give it a shot. He's not going to sign anything for me, but it won't hurt to, you know, spend a couple minutes, write a letter, and see what I get back, if anything. Probably not anything." But I wrote to Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, who was huge in the news back in the mid-2000s. That's weird to say, mid-2000s, right? but sure enough, I got a signed photo back with basically a letter saying it was authentic. And I was knocked out of my socks. I was not expecting that. I thought it was just the email address. I don't think it had been tested. It was just sitting there. So that's definitely mine. I mean, freaking Hamid Karzai came out of nowhere one day. I didn't even remember writing to him at the time. I was just like, what? There's a Hamid Karzai autograph in my mailbox. I don't understand this. What's happening here? So, yeah, that's my pick. What about you?
Mine would be I'm going to go with one I just got today because I took a long shot with that, and that was Vince McMahon. It was an address that I don't think anybody has tried or tested before. It's not on any of the sites. It's not where you think he would be located. So I took a shot at it and actually got it back in like 17 days. So real quick turnaround, he signed two book plates for me. So I'm going to go with that as my answer because that's the one thing that's sticking to my head now. And as far as it's the most recent thing, I'm sure there's a couple others, but next getting the Vinnie Mac back is pretty nice.
Next question.
This one's coming from Michael Rhodes. And it is, if you have a private address for a celebrity or an athlete, and you also have an agency or stadium address that is tested, but it was a long wait, would you take the untested route in hope of a quick return to with the private address, or take the safe route and take the longer return with the agency or the sports stadium? And he's got a second part to that, which I'll get to when you get this one answered.
Yeah, I always go with the private addresses to test them first because I hate waiting for autographs. It's just something, a part of the hobby I do not like. Whenever you send, like, let's say Frank Oz, he signs in about a year, and that drives me crazy because he's an awesome Star Wars character that I really want. And my request has been about a year off to him, and it just drives me crazy that I haven't got back yet. So if I can find a private address for somebody like that, heck yeah, I'm trying it. The only thing I wouldn't do is send off a multi-signed item to a private address untested. I would obviously test it out with like index cards or something like that first before I sent an item like an 8x10 that's multi-signed or something like that to them. But in every other case, hell yeah, I'm testing out every private address because I don't want to use that agency address. It's going to take forever. Or like I know some sports players are that way. If you send their sports team, it's just going to take forever. It just lays in a pile until they... I think Josh Hamilton's that way, right? He just saves everything up and signs all at once. So
yeah, he signs a couple times a year.
Yeah, a couple times a year. So it's not even that bad, 6 months, but there's a lot worse out there. What about you?
I'm kind of the same way. I will always test a private address. It's, I mean, normally you're only going to be out 45 cents if it comes back. So it's not that huge of a deal. Sports-wise, if it's during the season, majority of the time, if I'm sending it to somebody, I'll send it to the stadium. Because normally I'm not sending it to anybody I'm not sending it to a superstar or anything. So I'll get it back just as quickly from the stadium as trying to hunt down a private address. Because most of them just stay in hotels or rent houses or whatever they do during the seasons on when they're in their city. But for the most part, I'll try the private addresses first.
And you got to watch out for those team addresses too, because sometimes the players have other people sign for them in the clubhouse. So you're not always guaranteed. Oh, you're not guaranteed authentic either way. But when you have a lot of personnel around and handlers, if you will, you're more likely to get a secretarial than if you sent to a home address. So.
All right. And then Mike's second part to that question is, if you have several private addresses, how many do you try before you give up or just send to the agency or the stadium?
All of them. I mean, it's like you said, it's 45 cents to test an address. And if you get a working address, then that's a big thing. I mean, I know a lot of people are doing this now. It's a new thing. Finding private addresses. Once you find one that works, it's a much stronger feeling than just finding one off Star Tiger. There's a sense of pride that you've found it, if you will. So I definitely think try everyone you can find. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, I'm the same way with that, especially if it's somebody that you really want. I mean, if it's not that big of a deal to you, I might only try a couple times and then try their agency, but I'll like if it's somebody like, I'll give an example, Natalie Zaya, we've been trying to hunt down an address for her. She's on Justified, and I think I'm on my fourth address with her that I just sent out. So if it's something that you're after, you're just, I mean, you're just obviously going to keep trying to get success with a private address because it's a lot easier and a lot less time than a agency.
Right, and what is it like? Oh, shucks, $2 down the drain for you. I mean, that's $2. And especially if it's somebody that you really, really want. And that's probably the reason you're sending out so many times. You know, if you're sending out multiple times to different addresses, it's somebody you want pretty bad. So $2 is nothing on standby.
I know, I can't even put a half a gallon of gas in my car for $2.
Exactly. Next question.
This one is coming from David Soffin. He is asking, what are your thoughts on sending off to college athletes? And do you use the dorm rooms or the athletic department?
I don't know. I don't send off to college athletes, so I'm going to let you do this one.
I've done this. I haven't done a lot of it this year, but I've done a lot of this in the past. I mean, if you can find the dorm room, that's obviously your best bet because it's not going to go through the athletic department. They're going to get it directly. And your success rate's going to be a lot higher than the athletic department. Athletic departments depend on the school. Some schools are really good. Some schools are horrible. I mean, if you do the research, I mean, there's schools out there. I mean, Florida's one. I mean, don't even waste your time. You won't get. I mean, if you send to the athletic department, you're not going to get nothing back. There's other schools. A lot of times, too, it depends on the school. If they're like, I tried to get Oregon's head football coach this past year, but they're in some trouble. They had an investigation with the NCAA, so they're kind of completely following stuff by the rules right now. So they sent back a form that you had to fill out to send back to them to make sure that the autograph was for your own personal use, wasn't going to get sold, wasn't going to be on eBay and whatnot. So like I said, the college part of it is the same thing. I mean, it's high school stuff is the same way. High school is always kind of hit and miss, too, and that's just sending to the – I mean, most time when I've done that, I've just done that to the high school. And it's the same thing, high school, college. It's going to depend on the school. Some are good, some are not.
Something to add to that, a lot of people don't know this, but there are a lot of schools that have open directories to the public for school emails. So you can actually look up a sports figure who's playing in college's email. Now, you don't expect to get an autograph from those addresses because, I mean, let's face it, most college students don't have a lot of money at all because it's all going into college. Even if they have a scholarship, you know, they're not allowed to take any bribes or money or anything. So don't expect an autograph from that. But if you just want to contact somebody, that is a decent way to go. So if there's somebody's, you got a basketball player at USC, you go to USC's website, look up the directory, and you can usually easily find that person and their email. Usually it's just like, let's say it's Bob Jones, just Bob Jones, bob.jones@usc.com. It's usually as easy as that. Sometimes it's reversed with the last name first. But yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but don't use it for autographs because you're not going to get any that way. Just kind of an easy way to contact the celebrity if you wanted to. So,
and just something to add to that, real quickly, David, you love Rachel Ray way too much.
You want to try that one more time?
David, you love Rachel Ray way too much.
Great job.
Moving on. This next one is from Alex Joritz, and he is asking, "Who is the oldest person you've sent a GTM off to?"
Easily for me, Carla Lomel. She was born in 1909, and she's still alive, which is awesome. She's 102 years old, and she was actually in the original Phantom of the Opera movie. She was in Uncle Tom's Cabin, the movie, and by far the biggest one. She was in Dracula with Bela Lugosi in, like, 1930 or something like that. So, pretty crazy. And she signed all my photos, so that worked out great. And like I said, she's a legend. Her dad actually, I think, founded Universal Studios or something like that. I'm not sure which studio. I think it's Universal. And that's how she got those gigs on the shows. She wasn't, you know, a huge character in the movies, but she was in the movies. And that's still staying something for a movie it's that old, man. And freaking Dracula is a classic. So, yeah, that's mine. What about yours?
All right, I could go with the same answers I've gotten her back in the last year or two, but I'll go with somebody else that is 1 year younger than that. He is 101, and that is Tyrus Wong, who was actually the lead artist on Bambi.
What's his last name?
Wong.
What's his last name?
Wong. Zane loves Wong.
I do not love Wong. Go on, though.
I think that's pretty much all I got to say on that. That was, like I said, he is 101 now, and that was just a pretty cool Disney return to get from somebody that actually was the lead artist on the movie Bambi.
All right, I think that's it for the questions, right?
Yep.
All right, time to announce the winners from last week's giveaway. We gave away a six-month subscription to the Savage List, or if you're already a subscriber, a book of stamps. And the winner was Melvin Purrington. Congratulations, Melvin. If you guys want to learn about who won early, just go to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/autographweekly. Simple as that. You can see who wins a couple days early before the podcast is released. Isn't that cool? Yes, it is. Also, we had another contest for the Savage List, guys. A lot of contests going on for the Savage List right now. If you want to get into them, all you have to do is go check out Stacey Schaefer's video, my co-host. Just type in youtube.com/StaceySchaefer, and his videos. It's one of the ones at the top, right, Stacey? One of the recent ones you did. But
yeah, it's not too old. Probably within the first four or five on there, probably.
Right. And there's a lot of stuff being given away, guys. All you have to do is sign up for the Savage List. It's very easy. And one of the little mini contests we're doing is if you're a member of the Savage List, post your pictures of your successes from the Savage List on our Facebook wall. And from those, every week, we'll pick a winner and send out an autograph to you guys. So we picked a winner this week, and it was James Keithley. Congratulations, James. James actually got a, I think, 11x14 photo signed by Phil Jackson. And I think he put nine-time world champion under it. So that was really cool, man. Or maybe you put six-time because it was with the Lakers. But, a really cool piece. And congratulations, James. Again, guys, to win that, we're going to do this weekly for a month. Just sign up for the Savage List at autographweekly.com/just go to autographweekly.com, and it says the Savage List on the tab. Just click that. So this week for the giveaway, we are giving away a John Grease signed 8x10. If you don't know who John Grease is, he played Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. So that is up for grabs. To win that, all you have to do is put the keyword on our Facebook wall. Go to facebook.com/autographweekly. The keyword is hidden, of course, in the show. So once you hear that, go post it on our wall, and you'll automatically be entered. All right, let's move on to Graph of the Week. And what were the horrendous results from last week's Graph of the Week poll?
This was almost as bad as the previous week. We've had 2 weeks where it's been epically one-sided. And this week it favored Top Shelf, TTM, with his Tom Hanks TTM success. He got 92% of the vote to Bloodspawn 80s David Duchovny that got a lowly 8%. So I guess that's a little better than the, what was it, the 5% that...
Yeah, there was one vote. There was one vote for Blade's autograph last week, so it's a little bit better, but it's pretty damn lopsided. I think that'll change this week. We got pretty even picks. My pick this week is going to be Dean Smith. Kelvin ML actually got a Dean Smith signed book for, I believe, 75 cents at a thrift store, which is crazy. Dean Smith, of course, one of the greatest coaches of all time, easily. North Carolina legend. So that's my pick. What's yours?
Mine is coming from Rye Inc., and it's not so much for the one autograph you got on the item that came back this last week. He actually got Cale Yarborough, but basically it completed a photo that he had, which is a pretty epic photo. It's now signed by Cale Yarborough, Bobby Allison, and Donnie Allison. And it's an actual photo from the 1979 Last Lap of Daytona with the infamous fight. And if you guys know anything about racing, this was a huge deal. This is actually the first NASCAR race, I believe, that was ever televised too. And they had this huge fight in the last lap with Kyle Yarbrough and the Allisons. So he got the Kyle Yarbrough back this week to finish off that photo. So that is my pick this week for Graph of the Week.
All right, let's start wrapping this up, guys. Go check out the Savage List. I know I talk about it a lot, but the names are really piling up on it on successes. The Savage List, go to autographweekly.com. At the top, hit the Savage List. This week, we've actually added successful addresses for Vince McMahon, Summer Glau, and Tony Hale. You may know him from Arrested Development. Also, guys, check out autographweekly.com in general. We post all of our updates there, kind of get the gist of what's going on. Of course, you can also go vote for Graph of the Week. I forgot to mention that. It's at the on the right-hand side. You can also vote for Graph of the Week on Facebook. It's on the little tab on the left. This is Graph of the Week poll. And everything else is on Autograph Weekly, some articles that we talk about in the show, and, of course, the podcast and our projects and how they're going along. So everything's there. Also, check out StacyShaffer.com. That's where Stacy posts all of his pictures of his successes and basically all the projects he's doing personally. Also, of course, Squarespace.com. We talked about them earlier. Go get your 2-week free trial, get full features to the website, and if you just decide to stick with them, go ahead and use the promo code or coupon code AUTOGRAPH to get 10% off your purchase. And of course, I always harp on this, go rate and comment on iTunes. Do it now, brother. Do it right now. I'll wait. You going to iTunes? You better. I'm watching you. Go to iTunes right now. Rate, comment. All right, guys, that's all we got to date. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacy Schaefer. And as always, stay classy.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.